The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey, Nerd Clan, head on over to minutewithmary.com/discount to get 15% off my twisted epic mascara. From Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to Outlander Cast. It's a podcast dedicated to the show Outlander on Starz. Everybody, I'm back. Blake's back. We're back.
We're back, man.
How's it going? My name's Mary Larson.
My name is Blake, and I am so happy in this chapter The Hobbit was brought up. I know, like, in previous chapters it was brought up, but Mary and I have been doing this totally random rewatch of The Hobbit for the past, I would say couple of weeks or so. So whenever we finally get an actual chance to have no children at night and we're not podcasting or we're not working or we're not, you know, creating makeup sale, anything, we're watching The Hobbit, oddly enough.
The trilogy of The Hobbit, because, you know, Peter Jackson felt the need to stretch the shortest story.
Oh, that is
all the way.
That is a whole other
but that, anyway,
that's a whole other discussion.
We're having
that
a lot of Graham time.
Lots of Graham time, yep. And I'm so glad that The Hobbit was brought up, and the Misty Mountains song and the whole thing. I don't know, it's just cool.
So you know which elf he was talking about?
What do you mean?
Graham was talking about...
He was talking about a hobbit. Yeah, of course, yeah.
He wasn't talking about a hobbit, he was talking about an elf.
No, I thought he was talking about a hobbit.
No, because there's only one hobbit.
Exactly, so that was the idea, right?
No, I thought he said elf, and I thought he meant Orlando Bloom.
Oh, I thought he meant Martin Freeman as the hobbit.
I didn't think so, but I'm gonna double check. I love that you heard Hobbit, I heard Elf. We listened to the same book.
I know.
What is going on?
What are we doing?
I don't even know, man. I don't even know. Okay, so
fair enough.
Before we get into the rest of the show, Blake, what do you want our friends to know while I scour this book?
Yes, of course, go to maryandblake.com to check out all the podcasts that we have going on, whether it is our Bridgerton podcast, if you're a fan of the newly released Bridgerton on Netflix, or if you are a fan of Gilmore Girls or Game of Thrones or This Is Us, or actually right now I am writing currently a blog series on WandaVision. You can catch all of that stuff at maryandblake.com. Of course, also find us on all the social media, whether it is Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, YouTube, all with the title in Mary and Blake. And of course, don't forget either about jointhenerdclan.com, where you can become an official Nerd Clan member and get all the best benefits that Mary and I offer, like personal looks into our lives, bonus episodes, premium podcasts, like the Keep Calm and Crown On podcast, or everything else that we have going on, like Blake's Book Club. Right now I'm covering Voyager. I think I'm on chapter 22 of Voyager.
Ooh,
at the
look
moment.
At you plugging away.
So I'm very excited about that. Again, jointhenerdclan.com. Marvin, did you find the thing that we're talking about yet?
No, but I found the fight. How everybody was in a fight, like the stunt doubles, not even the stunt doubles, but just the size doubles.
I think it takes place after that. I think that's what they talk about after.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll keep going.
All right. Well, I can only vamp so much here, Mom.
I'm just saying, let's get into the show. We're going to read the quote that I was going to read, okay? Fine. I'll read a quote.
No.
It's fine.
No,
chapter 6.
I got to play the music here. We got to follow the document.
Okay.
Got to follow the document.
Sorry,
Mom.
I'm too busy in the book.
let's do it.
Okay. Okay, so this is chapter 6, Mounting Mountains. And you just cry for Marty, a guy you didn't even know, but you felt like you know.
Yeah, right?
My goodness.
Shedding all the tears for Marty.
Okay, so this is the quote I was going to read, and then I'm going to hand this to you, Blake, when I do my GBGs.
Okay.
What has LaCroix been doing all day, I wonder? Wendy reads my mind. What have you been doing with yourself, Murta the Squirter? Which, listeners, what?
Well, I think it's supposed to rhyme, Murta the Squirter.
Okay.
At least that's the way that it
squirting
sounds.
Squirting what?
You know what he's squirting.
For real? Like that? Oh, my God. She shouts at full Glaswegian volume. LaCroix, climb to Monroe, chase some sheep, had sex. Wendy, poor wee lambie. Wendy laughs her arse off and high fives LaCroix. Like, I think my favorite part of this, not just that he's casually like, yeah, I had sex, I climbed to Monroe, but that he actively chased sheep. Like, what, a 5-year-old kid chasing birds at the beach? That's my favorite part. Duncan LaCroix just, you know, spending his day climbing a Monroe, sleeps with, you know, a pie hussy or something.
It's like, just, I'm going to go chase some sheep.
I'm literally just picturing our son who runs at seagulls with his hands waving above his head, you know, to see them run. But Duncan LaCroix.
Yeah, just a fully grown adult male. Just chasing after sheep.
Here, you go look for Hobbit or Elf.
I'll find it.
All right, so while we do this, I'm going to do my GBGs for Chapter 6, My Good, My Bad, My Great. My good is, can we just all be stuck on a ski lift listening to Lord of the Rings stories? As Blake said, we've been watching the Lord of the Hobbit, not the Lord of the Rings, but, you know, we're kind of like, all right, bring us to Middle Earth. Let's hang out with Graham McTavish. We're reading with him. We're hearing his voice. Let's hang out with him in this wonderfully long story on screen. My bad. And this isn't even like a real bad. This is just a wish. That's what I've decided. When I like really like a chapter, it's not that I'm going to have a good, bad, a good, great, best. I'm just going to like my wish. Can Clanlands 2, because I'm putting it out into the universe that we're going to have a Clanlands 2, have Duncan inside? Because I need his voice. I love the Sam banter. I love the Graham banter. But then I just want to have like these random chapters. You know how Game of Thrones is written from different character perspectives at the same times, Blake? Like you'll have a chapter that's in Tyrion's voice. Mm-hmm. I want that. But for Duncan, just like random chapter 4, The Day I Chased Sheep.
just talking about.
Like what the hell he's doing, you know? Okay, and then my great is that I finally figured out who Sam and Graham remind me of in this book. Frog and Toad. You know, Frog and Toad's adventures, Frog and Toad all year, Frog and Toad, like the children's book. The children's book about curmudgeon-y Toad and happy-go-lucky tall frog. My daughter and I are actually reading a series that for the Frog and Toad all year right now. And one of her favorite ones is this one where they go sledding. I literally could just picture Sam and Graham. What happens is Frog shows up at Toad's house. He's like, man, guess what? It's winter. I got sleds. It's so good. And Toad's like, no, I don't think so. I do not have the proper apparel for this. Once again, Graham, right? And Frog's like, don't worry about it. I've got extra coats, scarves, hats. And he's like shoving all this stuff on Toad. And Toad's like, what the heck is this guy making me do? And they go outside in the snow and they've got this sled. And Frog's like, this is going to be great, man. You sit in front of the sled and I'm going to sit in the back. And they start going. And Toad's like, oh, this isn't that bad. It's kind of nice. And Frog's like, yeah, I know. And they go over a snowbank and Frog accidentally falls off, aka Sam. And Toad, aka Graham, is still on the sled. And he's like, this isn't that bad. You know, I'm out in the elements. I like this. All right, I'm doing well. And then a crow says, hey, Toad, look at you sledding all by yourself. Toad's like, what do you mean I'm sledding all by myself? And he freaks out and he bumps into a rock and he gets flung in the snow. And Frog catches up with him and he's like, Toad, isn't winter the best? And Toad's like, no, I'm going back home into my warm house to go have a snack. And I read this with my daughter. But I pictured instead of Frog and Toad, Sam and Graham, because that's pretty much what would have happened, except Toad would have ended the day being like, I need my lady latte.
Absolutely.
So, Blake, what is your GBG for chapter 6?
I'm still trying to find the stupid thing. I know it's here.
Unless they added it just in the audiobook.
They must have. They must have, because I'm I'm stumped. I cannot find. No, it's not here.
Okay. Well, we'll get back to it. We'll find
This is going to bother me so much.
But it was either an elf or a hobbit, and they were doing something wrong. Like they were crabby or something. It was something negative. And I was just, I thought he was talking about Orlando Bloom.
I thought he was talking about Martin Freeman.
You can't talk badly about Martin Freeman.
No, because he's perfect.
Oh, he really is.
That man's a saint. You leave him out
he's
of your
mouth.
He's
literally the best thing that ever happened to The Hobbit.
He is the only good thing in The Hobbit, I would say.
Well, no, Blake, you're saying the only good thing. We've been spending so much time watching The Hobbit.
Exactly.
You're like, oh, I don't like it. Never mind. Who's the person who requested it? You. Okay,
I did.
Continue.
Well, because I wanted to go back and revisit. I haven't seen it
since.
You wanted
to see Graham. With his like fake muscle hands. That's what's weird. Is like the like I don't know if they made him eat a lot of food or if it's just all muscle shirts and muscle hands.
I don't know what they did, but Martin Freeman's the only good thing about that film.
And Graham McTavish. And the hot elf who became Poldark.
Yeah, like that's the thing. Like, the only thing I remember from the Hobbit films was Martin Freeman, who was awesome, Benedict Cumberbatch playing Smaug. Graham McTavish only because of Outlander and Hot Dwarf.
Becomes Poldark.
Who becomes Poldark. That's it.
That's where he was.
I watched an Unexpected Journey and didn't know the film. Like, I forgot the whole film.
Even though I made you read the book a few years ago.
Right. Except for, I'm going on an adventure.
Best GIF ever.
That's it.
My favorite GIF.
It's GIF.
Okay.
It's GIF. I will die on this hill. It is GIF.
I mean, I hope you got a lot of good life insurance. So we'll be fine. Okay.
All right. My good.
GPG.
My good. My good has, like you, Mary, it's climbed the Monroe, chased some sheep, and had some sex. I love LaCroix. He continues to be the best part of this book.
Like, there's fictitious movies like The Hangover.
Yeah.
Where they write characters based upon people like Duncan
like,
LaCroix.
That is his life. He wakes up every day with a tiger in the bathroom.
Yeah.
That is a guarantee. I wouldn't be surprised if he's actually done that. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if they...
I wouldn't be either.
They heard a story. I mean, this is the guy that chases sheep for fun. Like,
this is what I want. Clanlands too.
Just for Duncan. Funsies.
Add Duncan.
Duncan edition. Just
and then
follow
you got
that
the opposite.
Guy around.
You got Sam, like clean cut Sam.
I know. All right. Bad for me. Sam. Eating vegan.
I mean, opposite of chasing sheep.
The
maybe Duncan
opposite.
Was doing it with a fork and knife. I hate hanging out with Sam. He eats tofu.
I need
haggis.
Freaking anything meat. Just no vegan.
Sam eating vegan. Now you no problems with vegans. Okay.
No. Vegans are fine.
We
man.
Love our
like,
vegan
that's
friends.
Cool. You do you. Like I'm not saying you shouldn't do it. I'm saying I ain't doing it.
I tricked Blake to go to a vegan restaurant once.
Oh my God.
That was awesome.
It smelled like burned Brussels sprouts.
He didn't know, guys. And then he's looking at the menu. It was like probably our seventh date.
Yes.
I'd already taken him to a sushi place where he had to sit on the floor.
Oh, that was our second date.
Yeah.
No shoes, sit on the floor, and muscle down sushi.
I can't believe we got married.
Which
I... like, literally, our second date, I take it for sushi, your worst nightmare.
Oh, brutal.
And then the next restaurant I take you to is a vegan place. And I'm not even vegan. I just wanted to bust your balls.
And you took me to an Indian place, which I had never been to as well.
Yeah, and you have, yeah.
And then you took me to a Somalian restaurant.
Lebanese.
No. It was the...
The one where you ate with your hands?
That wasn't Lebanese.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Oh, Somalian?
Yeah.
With the eggs?
And like the bread that looks like a towel?
That's like a sponge?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not Lebanese.
Oh, that place is it's over.
Yeah, it's
so.
Gone now.
Okay,
yeah.
Can we continue? So
anyway,
that your
yeah.
bad was that Sam's eating
vegan.
Vegan,
dude.
But
no
he's like,
way.
I'm just doing it now.
Yeah, he's probably like prepping for a role or something. Or maybe he's like getting ready for Outlander.
This is also what some people do is they like eat a certain way for like a month or two mm-hmm. and then their body gets used to that and they lose tons of weight and they adjust and then they're like, oh, you're used to it? Now I'm gonna just eat fish.
Steak. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
They like
yeah.
shock their system. So maybe he's doing that.
No. Nope. All set. Like if you do vegan, that's cool for you, man. For me, I need some steak. I need steak in my life. For me, the great though... Graham. I'm in on Graham and I am really liking him and his, you know, in quotes, character, as we put it in this book, because obviously yes, I'm sure, you know, to an extent, most of this is real, but it's heightened, I think, for the purpose of the book.
Like, I think Graham is your spirit animal. Like, if you had money,
yes,
you would want to be Graham McTavish. When you grow up.
Like, no. I don't do any of this stuff.
I don't
stuff.
Sleep in an RV.
No. What? What are you talking about? No. Give me the 5-star hotel. Where is my latte? Where? It wouldn't be a latte, but it would be something like that.
Oh, my God.
And I'd be like, no. What are we doing? But I don't ski. I don't do skiing. And I am very afraid of heights. I do not do heights. In fact, the scene of Graham reading when the chair was coming towards him, mm-hmm. and how terrified he was, that is my life.
The fact that a child was doing it?
Yeah. Like, I remember when we went skiing, I saw like some 7-year-old zipping around.
Yep.
Zipping around like he's Bodie Miller. And I'm like, who are you, dude? You're 7. I have a degree. Why? How am I not able to ski and you're zipping around on your freaking head? It was miserable. So I hate skiing. I'm out on skiing. I just, no thank you.
Okay.
So that is that. That is my great. And I think you're right, Mary. Graham McTavish is my spirit animal.
Love it.
So that is that. What stands out to you in this chapter, though?
So there was no like real point of this chapter in regards to history of Scotland. This was a hangout chapter. Hangout.
Absolutely.
Tell some stories. Get to know Graham and Sam a little bit more. Get to know Duncan a little bit more. And I'm here for it. Once again, like, give me the Scotsman telling stories. Like, mm-hmm. It reminds me of my dad. You know, my dad, as you know, he's such a good storyteller. And I know it's because he's Scottish. Like, that's just a thing that you get, like, passed down. And yes, like you said, this is produced. And yes, this book has been edited. But just to be able to hang out with these guys for a day, mm-hmm. and then to get to hear these heartfelt stories, I don't know. We already love them as actors. But now, you know, when you love the person behind the craft, it makes you love the work they do even more.
Yeah, I have chided this book a little bit for its...
You know.
I know, for its very canned comedy and canned manufactured funnies. But this whole sequence is genuinely funny. Strangely, moments later, I decide to tell Sam that I'm afraid of heights. What am I thinking? It's something I've dealt with quietly for a long time. I don't like to make a fuss. It's like telling a vegan you can't wait for the hog roast. The chair approaches. I look behind me. It swings around a tight 180 degrees and thunders towards us. Well, thunders may be an exaggeration. I lower myself backwards and hope for the best. The chair slams into my backside, and I'm swinging in midair before I've even had a chance to hurl abuse at the fat controller. Sam glances across and smiles. Yes, one of those smiles. I look ahead, focusing on the chair in front, containing our camera department, and refuse to look down. So you're afraid of heights? Yes, I'm not as bad as I used to be, but I'm still nervous in certain situations, like now. So whatever you do, please don't start rocking the chair. Sam bides his time. We chat. It's actually quite fun. I look out across the hills. It's beautiful. We're passing through the clouds to emerge into the light above. This is not too bad at all, methinks. Then he starts to shake the chair. I yelp, perhaps whimper. Then I adopt my stern father voice. Stop shaking the chair, Sam. Oh, sorry, buddy, of course. And we go on. Sam shakes the chair. This pattern, more or less, continues to top, only interrupted by me singing Misty Mountains from The Hobbit just to stop the chair shaking. That is genuinely funny. Like,
yeah.
I see that whole thing, and that is two buddies who are just busting balls and having a good time with each other.
And then you get Sam's perspective the next time. You know, how he's just looking over, and he's so excited. It's Frog and Toad, man. It's Frog and Toad.
Oh, goodness gracious.
We also get to have the moment. So, you know, we learn in this chapter, if we couldn't have guessed already, that Graham doesn't sleep in the RV. That it's going to look that way in the show. And goodness gracious, friends.
That's next chapter, isn't it?
Is it?
Yes, that's next chapter.
No, this is the chapter where he has the woman enter his room.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
And
Oh, it's the tent I'm thinking of. Okay, sorry.
Oh. Because the woman enters his room and Sam and everybody's kind of wondering, like, who is this person that he was with last night?
Is this guy married?
What is going on? Sassafras. And really, it's because he's getting so busted sitting in this RV, you know, with his legs all cramped. And Blake and I are very tall, so we can appreciate that, that he had to have like a, pretty much a chiropractor person come on in and like fix his dainty body. And I just love this because, you know, a lot of people are not going to be reading Clanlands before Men in Kilts. They're just going to watch Men in Kilts. And this is like the best behind the scenes stuff, because we're going to see potentially Graham look like he's sleeping inside the RV.
Ain't no way he's sleeping in the RV.
We know he's in his room with like those electric shock pulse things, a heated blanket, some essential oils. You know, he's got his like five star.
He's got healing crystals in the background.
Yes. Oh yes, I am roughing it.
Oh man, he really is my spirit.
And then
animal.
Even their outfits that they wear, you know how he describes how rugged Sam looks in this outfit, and how he's wearing just this like perfectly soft and cozy outfit.
Yeah, I gotta read that too. I love that part. If I could find it, hold on.
Oh man. By the way, Misty Mountain.
Yes.
You're singing it. Just to torture Sam, because he has a terrible voice.
Right. Oh, geez. Where the heck is that?
I don't know, but while you do that, we need to talk about the fight. The fight that he tells us about. Once again, Blake and I are, you know, down the Hobbit rabbit hole. Or the Hobbit hole, one could say.
All right.
And bam! Just like that.
The fact that the Gandalf stand-in was, what, 7 feet two,
seven two
or
yeah.
something? And then they had the shorter stand-ins, and they all just got into a fight. Like, I just love how this is, like, a thing that's happening to people, because I've never seen, like, a big fight happen. I mean, maybe I just live a really sheltered life, but...
just having fight. Just, 13
just in a
short,
pub.
They say 14... 13 short friends. That's what they say.
Yep. Just fighting in a pub.
Fighting in a pub.
And the 7 foot two guy just throwing people out of it.
We were filming in Te Anau on The Hobbit, nearly at the bottom of the South Island of New Zealand, with the scale doubles, the long-suffering shorter people who doubled for the dwarves on a few occasions, and Tall Paul, the 7 foot 2 inch policeman from Auckland, who doubled as Ian McKellen for some key over-shoulder shots. It was talent night at the pub. A local started playing his guitar. Another local then punched him in the face. One of our short friends remonstrated with this individual, which set off a full-scale pub brawl. 13 people under 5 feet tall fighting with local farmers with a 7 foot 2 inch giant, literally throwing people into the street. You couldn't make it up. Oh, man. That is so funny. That is great stuff.
It really is.
Oh, yeah. Graham says, I may dress like someone who drinks lattes, but let me describe the mountain goat's attire. A high cream turtleneck and khaki green sailing smock with wooden toggles. He's like Kirk Douglas in Heroes of Telemark, about to save Norway in World War II. I imagine him jumping off the chairlift in wooden skis. No, I imagine him pushing them off and attacking the slopes like a born skier, or him falling like a sack of spuds. You could rely on him in an avalanche, only to find out he's later caused it in the first place. He asks where my scarf came from, and it is utterly astonished that I bought it from Dovecote Studios, Edinburgh. I asked him the last time.
Yes, this part.
I asked him the last time he bought his clothes, and he dodges the question. Even in his underpants are freebies.
And then the whole, can you read the bit about his bum?
Yeah. Sam says, I don't wear any underpants. And Graham says, any chance to be shirtless or butt naked? Those poor cameramen on Outlander having to look at your chocolate starfish for hours on.
What does that mean? Chocolate starfish. Wait, I don't understand why that's a bum. The butthole? The butthole is a chocolate starfish? Sam Heughan gets that bleached. You know Sam Heughan doesn't have a chocolate starfish.
Of course he gets the bleached.
Things I never thought I'd be talking about. Oh my God, chocolate starfish went over The cameraman, chocolate starfish.
The cameraman's seen my ass more than me. Graham says everyone's seen your ass more than you.
I think this has been my favorite chapter, Blake.
This is good stuff, man.
Just the laughing. And then I wanted to have a dram. I'm like, I was listening while I was driving, and I'm like, I don't even know Marty. But like, right. I'm feeling for him. I was in the car while I was listening to this, hearing about how he died in a car crash. Yeah.
And his wife and kids were with him, but luckily they survived. And the whole thing.
Graham has his picture on his fridge so he can see his face every day.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And whenever he wears a kilt, he brings the flask with him, and or whenever he returns to Scotland. And, you know, this is the kind of thing that you, when you know you're really with buddies, you can bust each other's balls about chocolate starfishes and rock the chairs, and knowing that your buddy is terrified of heights.
Yep.
And but then you get a chance to just stand on top of this mountain and share a drink,
and it's just a nice
be with each other.
It's a really nice break, because as someone who doesn't do well reading history, you know, we had a historical bit beforehand, you know, with the massacre of Glencoe, and now we get to just hang back and digest and laugh and be sad and just have friendship time. And I assume the next chapter is about history stuff. So,
yes,
you know, it's a nice, like, it's a nice digesting flow.
It's a nice quiet moment at the end of the chapter between the two friends in memory of another friend. It's a good way to end this chapter and move on to what I imagine, like you said, Mary, will be more history. So,
all right.
I was in on this chapter. Oh, by the way, Glenn and Delilah, the two ladies that have been apparently following them, are back in the ski lodge where they are, wherever they are. How are these people just, are they just tailing
the
van?
How do they find them? Seriously, how do they find them?
Are they just aware of where Sam and Graham are going?
Why are they not hired by the FBI? Like, that's Screwjack Bauer from 24. Yeah. You need Glenn and Delilah. Slash, why does Sam not have a restraining order against these people?
You think that he would. I'm just throwing that out there.
And Graham has such a good time out of it. Graham just thinks it's funny. Like,
right, exactly.
Hey there. And Sam's...
Sam's like, oh my God.
He's like, I can't.
All right, you ready to close this out?
Yeah, I honestly, like, I just, why does the FBI not have these people?
CIA, you know, like.
If you're looking for the Capitol rioters, get these two ladies on it. They'll put their face on a t-shirt and they'll find them in a day.
They'll figure it out.
Yep.
All right, let's close it out, shall we?
We shall.
Let's do it.
For
you're welcome.
The misty mountains cold. Dungeons deep and caverns old.
You know, as much as I like this song, I hated this scene. Because they're eating and they're throwing plates and they're doing the whole thing, and all of a sudden everything just stops dead in the film. And everyone's just staring off into the distance, and this song just randomly breaks out. And
this is when their high wore off, Blake. They were all smoking.
No, they're still smoking. I'm looking at it. Okay. There's smoke filling the whole house.
Yeah, well, that's what happened then, okay? They all came down at the same time.
They're all tripping balls, and then, dude, we gotta sing, man.
This is what we do.
And they all just stand up real slow. It's a movie moment.
Except Bilbo. It's like, these guys literally just came in and ate my year's worth of food. Now there's an a cappella group, but they're not even singing 50s, you know, barbershop.
That is funny. Oh, look, here we go. Not the song anymore. Not the song anymore. Oh, well, anyway, thank you everybody very much for joining us today for Clanlands. Hopefully we're going to get another chapter done today, as a matter of fact. I hope. If not, don't worry, we will continue. We know that Men in Kilts is beginning, as we're recording this, is beginning, what, in a week? Or a little less than a week?
Yeah,
on Valentine's Day. So we will be covering Men in Kilts, and hopefully we will get Clanlands done before.
We will. We'll have it done.
I'm sure we will. So. Anything else you got to say, man?
Nope, that's it.
Bye. Bye, guys. Thank you so much.
Break of day,
to find our love.